What is up, everybody? My name is Brandon First, aka First Report, representing the ESBC Gambling Podcast Network. Today is Friday, May 15th, 2020. And really, to be honest, today's going to be all about the MLB. This past week, I had the kind of going over the rule changes and the protocols and everything that's pretty much going to have to happen for baseball to return and the rule changes. So go back and check out that podcast if you haven't already before you listen to this one. This is going to be more glossing over the rule changes and diving into the deeper aspects in terms of the baseball teams overall. That's one of the topics to discuss. I also have the draft to talk about, Major League Baseball draft, some more final decisions have come down lately. We want to know, what is the holdup? About 10 days ago, we were pretty much told this was almost a done deal. We are going to, you know, have something somewhat concrete very soon. That was 10 days ago. Still nothing. So what is the holdup? And in that holdup, who's right, who's wrong, who's holding this up, who's not doing the right thing? And finally, I'm not going to go in this order, but the last topic I will talk about is is there a deadline? When is that deadline? When do we throw in the white towel and say, hey, baseball is not salvageable this year? We hope we don't get there, but that's something we have to talk about. Very realistic here on this podcast. It's really going to kind of be an interesting podcast, kind of a downer podcast. There's a lot of unfortunate topics that have to be talked about, but that's what the ESBC Gambling Podcast is all about. We get through the bad stuff, find the good stuff, and make money off of it, and that's what we're all about. So we'll first start with, what is the holdup? Well, like I said, about a month ago, Baseball Players Association and the owners came to a agreement that when baseball got started, there would be a 50-50 revenue split. It's pretty cut and dry. Now, a month later, we have pretty much everything else somewhat agreed upon. And now Major League Baseball is asking the players' union, is telling the players' union, we need to renegotiate. The blame game in the media has already begun. And really, honestly, only one thing is certain. The biggest hurdle in this process has yet to be cleared. Veteran outfielder and San Diego native Adam Jones, who plays in Japan currently, called on the veterans of Major League Baseball to really kind of speak up and tell the people what the league is trying to do. Essentially, negotiate in the media. Not the best, most ethical thing to do, but I'm pretty sure Major League Baseball is negotiating through the media, so might be time to fight fire with fire. Blake Snell and Trevor Bauer both addressed or answered the call, if you will. Bauer is obviously never shy to voice his opinion or displeasure, and this one he also has the advantage of having a very successful YouTube channel for baseball fans called Momentum. Really interesting stuff there. A lot of in-depth stuff kind of behind the curtain. Interesting stuff. But he's obviously used that platform to be vocal, not just about this, but also with the Astros sign-stealing scandal, stuff like that. He's pretty much anything he doesn't like, he's going to use that medium to use it and to get his claims out there. So Bauer's main grievance was that while these negotiations have been going on, he seems to think that we know more about the proposals than he does. MLB or the players' union has not shown him, or he has not seen any proposal yet. So he's more frustrated with what he believes Major League Baseball is kind of negotiating in the media. And I believe they are. There's no doubt about that. But I also do think he needs to get a call to his union rep. And maybe someone needs to talk to him about that, because he needs to, if he really wants to see a proposal, he probably needs to be in the union hierarchy. Because the union isn't going to bring anything to the players until that union hierarchy believes they have at least a chance to get a yes vote from a majority of the players. So I think that's a big reason why Trevor Bauer hasn't seen the quote-unquote proposal, but he does have a point with the fact that there is a lot of news out there for a negotiation that is obviously very, very fluid. Moving on to Blake Snell. He is, of course, the former Cy Young Award winner who pitches for the Tampa Bay Rays. He was streaming himself playing a video game, and I believe someone in the comments maybe asked him, or not quite sure what the context was. I just saw the video of him talking about it, but pretty much broke it down in terms of they agreed upon to get 50%, you know, of their pay. That's what is expected. They're going to pay play half the season. It's unfortunate, but you can't expect millionaires to expect welfare, let's be honest, all right? But they'll still get 50% of their pay. But now baseball wants to, apparently, this is what Blake Snell was saying, drop them down to, he's kind of using broad terms, but it sounded like 33 to 40%, which would obviously be a steep decline from the 50% they were hoping for. And then he obviously brought up the fact of taxes. If you're in a certain states obviously have different tax codes, but I mean, just being in California, you're probably only going to be getting about 20, 25% of your actual pay. And while I'm not going to sit here and have a ton of sympathy for the millionaires and billionaires fighting over thousands of dollars, I can take myself out of the situation and look at it through Blake Snell and the major league players' eyes and say, would I be okay taking a pay cut to really kind of put myself out there? He also does say he's risking his life. I believe that's a bit dramatic. I'm not saying these players aren't out there and susceptible to getting corona, but it's highly unlikely they would have terribly bad effects from it. I mean, you might be down for the count, but I don't think any ball player, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm not eating my words later, but I don't expect a professional athlete to die from coronavirus. But we do have that player passing it on to other people in their family or other personnel just passing along here and there. But the way I do understand it is they would have to be sequestered. So I don't think family life is possible during those 3 months. So I do understand where Blake Snell is coming from with the you shouldn't be paying or pretty much be working for half the pay or less than that of what you signed up for, which I agree with. I don't believe baseball players and professional athletes fall in the quote-unquote hazard pay. I believe the frontline workers that are out there, and that includes grocery store clerks and stuff like that. You know, you got a lot of people. I go grocery store shopping. I try to go as least as possible, but when you do go, you're in there for about an hour because you're getting 2 weeks supplies. And I do see a lot of people without masks. I see a lot of people who don't really respect the space of other people. And that's something to think about. But like I said, going back to my original point, I don't believe baseball players fall under the umbrella of hazard pay. That is just my opinion. And like I said, I've never been a Major League Baseball player, but I still would not be okay pretty much being told, hey, this is what we're going to pay you. And then a month later, my employer coming back and saying, actually, we're going to cut that a little bit. I would probably not be okay with doing that going in into a pandemic, if you will. So who is to blame? All right. We love to play the blame game. And to be honest, what else is there to do? There literally is no other game to play right now other than the blame game. So let's look at it. In the current climate, there is not a ton of sympathy for either groups. You have small business owners and people just generally financially dying and financially being squeezed to death. So there's not a ton of sympathy for either side here in the general sports world, nor should there be. But baseball fans at the heart of this don't care how it is done. They just want baseball. Hopefully the two sides can recognize this and put their pride aside and deliver us at the very least, a shortened season. Like I said, I see both sides of the argument. For the owners, while incredibly wealthy, are taking a big hit during this pandemic, as nearly every single one of them are paying their employees, not players, their employees, the employees at the ballpark, security. I think it even goes to like the elite security almost as far. But they're paying the concession, the ushers, the front office, you know, HR people. They are being paid like normal. The owners are taking a hit. I'm not saying they're not going to, you know, they're going to be in breadlines tomorrow, but this, they're taking a hit financially, and business people do not like to take hits. They're going to look for an out, and the players taking a pay cut is their out. And conversely, for the players, as I said, if they accept a pay cut, they are essentially negotiating against themselves. And as stated before, I do disagree with Blake Snell thinking he's risking his life, and I don't think it's hazard pay. They still need to be compensated accordingly. And I think the biggest elephant in this room is the fact that we are a year away from negotiating a new CBA. And you, if you listen to my MLB podcast, when I talk about labor strife, it is MLBPA versus MLB is a blood war. It is Jerry Springer of the labor negotiations in professional sports, folks. It is, and we're seeing it right now. It could get ugly before it gets better. I hope that's not the case, but that's where we're at. With the CBA on the horizon, this negotiation right here is a stare down. Make no mistake about it. This is a stare down that's happening right now, and neither side wants to blink. And that should scare every single baseball fan out there that wants baseball this year, because it could turn into a pride thing. So topic number two, kind of building off the first one, is when is this quote unquote deadline? Now, sooner is obviously better than later, but in this case, it's definitely the case. We need to get this figured out ASAP, and no definitive date has been released, at least to the public. I'm sure behind closed doors with the negotiation, there's a date that's been kind of talked about, or at least a week that's been, hey, we got to get this figured out by this time. I think the date for me would be around May 25th, and let me tell you a couple reasons why. Number one is the players, at the very least, are going to need 2 weeks to be notified that A, where they're reporting, and B, when they're going there, how they're going to get there, what are they going to do with their family, how are they going to be able to care for their family, are they going to be comfortable doing leaving their family and going and playing baseball? That's another thing. Can we really get upset at a person that is genuinely scared? Now, while I don't necessarily have as big of fear as most people do of this, I don't judge anybody for their fear. Maybe I judge people for judging me on my fears, but this is a time we've never been through anything like this. If you need to be afraid, then be afraid. And I'm not judging you, and no one should judge you for doing that. And if you think this is a load of crap, then you can think that. No one should judge you for that. But we still do need to follow the rules, no matter how ridiculous I think they are. And not to go on a tangent, but I think living in California, it's getting a little much. But I'm going off on a tangent. Let me pull it back onto the track. So the players are going to need to be notified. They need to make arrangements. And even myself, I need a couple weeks before I need to go back to work so that I can actually remember what day of the week it is. I mean, I was thinking today, wow, it's Friday. It's been a long time since Friday meant something. You know, there are essential workers out there that are screaming at me like, God, Fridays are my, you know, are still mean something to me, not for me. So something to think about. And then the second reason I think why May 25th sounds about right is before the regular season can begin, a minimum of 2 week spring training must happen. It's almost like a spring training 2.0. Even if they had gone all the way through spring training and even played a couple regular season games and then they canceled, you would still need a couple weeks to get warmed up, especially with baseball. So, the first week of July is the absolute latest you can start a regular season with 80 games if you don't want to go deep into the fall. Because remember, the 80 games is to keep the playoffs pretty much from going into December. They'll probably leak into November, but not too deep, hopefully. July 1st, July, like, I'm pretty sure July 7th, that's probably the last possible time that the regular season can begin. So that's what I mean. So we're talking about a pretty much five weeks before the first week of July, July 1. You have to have a plan in place. And that's why I kind of landed on May 25th. And at the time of the recording of this podcast, like I said, it's May 15th. That gives the two sides 10 days to reach an agreement, seven business days. Although I think as we get closer to that deadline, whenever it is, they're going to be putting in long hours because they want to get this done, but they want to get it done their way, whatever side that is. Both sides want it their way, and that's why we're in this position. So that sounds like a long time, those 10 days, but these sides appear to be very far apart. And to be honest, if you are a baseball fan, you got to be a little worried. Moving on to the third topic I want to talk to you about today is the draft. And really the big changes, and there's the main change, the biggest one that jumps off the page, is the reduction from 40 rounds to 5. Okay? Only 12% of the players that were going to be drafted this year will be. This is a devastating blow to a lot of amateur baseball players. And I'm not talking about the D1 juggernauts who go to Fullerton and are going to go in the first 5 rounds. And even in a pandemic, even if they didn't have to play their senior season, everyone was going to draft. I'm talking about the guys, the David Ecksteins, the Tommy Edmonds, the guys who needed a full season and needed a 36th round selection and needed 4 or 5 years of an organization to believe in their heart and soul of working their way through the minor leagues to get that dream. 88% of the players any other year are not going to be drafted. This is devastating, but MLB has obviously taken steps to somewhat correct this. Immediately following the draft's conclusion, all undrafted players are eligible to sign pretty much as undrafted free agents with a signing bonus. So all these players are going to pretty much get to pick wherever they get to go, which is nice, but at the same time, I guarantee you they would have rather been drafted. A player who has been picked in the 35th round doesn't care what team signs him. He's not looking at the major league depth chart because he is a long ways away from worrying about what position or what major leaguers are in his position at that level. Okay? It's not like football where you see the undrafted free agents look like, hey, you know, they're a little thin at running back. They're going to pay me less, but I have a better chance of making the team here. It doesn't really work like that in baseball. But the signing bonus, it's a maximum of $100,000. Sounds like a lot of money, but probably only three or four players are going to get up to $100,000. Most guys are going to, their signing bonus is going to be a box of Cracker Jacks, a handshake, and pretty much, hey, we'll see you next year, because I don't think there's going to be a minor league season. Maybe a fall Arizona league with Arizona opening up. That could be something, but it will be a lot of players who want to get into that league. In terms of the financials, the half of whatever bonus has been decided upon can be deferred until to next year, July 1st, 2021. So for instance, if a player signs for $25,000, the team can elect to defer payment to the following July, next year, July 1st, which is essentially the opening of the amateur signing period internationally and after the draft. So half of the bonus will be paid out next year, but the first half must be paid within the first 30 days of signing. So this is interesting because more than likely the draft will be going on when owners are still not seeing attendance figures. So while, like I said, owners are still going to have plenty of money, they're not going to be quote unquote flush with cash, if you will. So they can defer this later till next year when, I mean, I still don't think we're going to have fans this calendar year, but next year they'll at least have the first 2 months of attendance numbers to pay off those young players, because every team's got to pick up at least 25 undrafted free agents, if at least. So there's going to be a lot of money being floated around, even if it is only $25,000 at a time. And I understand that is a lot of money. $25,000 is a lot of money. But in the grand scheme of baseball, it's not. But this is... There are going to be many sad stories that emerge from the ashes of this pandemic when it comes to the sports scene. However, I believe the amateur baseball player will be affected more than any other group, whether it's high school or college. And on that note, we saw today Bowling Green University has announced that they will be dropping baseball as a they're not going to have a baseball team anymore. Sadly, this is the first in what is expected to be a long casualty list. Corona is not done taking people out, literally, and they're not done taking institutions out, including businesses and, you know, sports things. Bowling Green will not be the only school to drop D1 baseball. It's a sad, sad list. It's a sad, sad topic, honestly. But at the end of the day, there will be 5 rounds in the draft. They will all be done remotely. The draft will be done remotely, very similar to what we saw in the NFL. Ironically enough, the NFL is going to have a longer draft than the major leagues, which that's very, very odd. Definitely be the first or the last time that happens, hopefully, fingers crossed. Moving on to my fourth and final topic is how the rule changes are going to affect the teams of Major League Baseball. On Sunday, I will be back about this exact topic, but it will be only based or only focused on the Padres. That is my team. If you can see behind me, from San Diego, that's my team. That's what I focus on. That's my most knowledge. So Sunday will be all dedicated to how the Padres are going to deal with these rule changes. But this part will be about how the other 29 teams are going to deal with it. So the main... the two biggest rule changes, I believe, that are going to have the biggest effect on the on-field product is the Universal DH and the expanded playoffs. Now, the DH has been lurking for some time now, and in this past December, it was announced that in 2021, the DH was more than likely coming to the National League. While the pandemic has slowed pretty much everything else in this world, it has pushed the Universal DH all the way to the forefront and accelerated the induction of it into the National League. The main reason why this is happening is going to be the schedule makeup. There will be no cross-country trips. There will be no long road trips or anything like that. The schedule is going to, you are going to play 9 different teams, and that will fill out the 82 games or 81 games or 80 games, however much it's going to be. You're going to play the 4 other teams in your division and then the 5 teams in the corresponding division in the other league. So the Padres will play the 4 NL West teams and the 5 AL West teams. Obviously, you're going to have a high number of interleague games going back and forth between home stadiums from the National League and the American League. And the old rule was if you're in a National League park, it's no DH. In the American League, it is a DH. We're going to have so much turnover now, it is a bit unfair to the American League to have pitchers who have really never had at-bats. Now all of a sudden they're having 20 at-bats in a season. So the DH rule was kind of out of necessity. It's obviously going to affect the National League first and foremost. The American League with the DH, they've been doing this for the last 30 years. They know what to expect. They've been building teams for the last 30 years with the DH as a position. Obviously, that's not the case in the National League. If these negotiations are agreed upon and the Universal DH is part of it, all eyes are going to switch over to a certain outfielder who's still a free agent, who's still a pretty damn good player. Still play the field, but gives you an extra bat if you need that for the DH. I'm talking about Yasiel Puig. He's going to be a very, very hot commodity, as already some teams have DH candidates on their roster, But Puig would add a lot to a National League team, no matter what. No matter what National League team he goes to, he will probably be either the starting or starting right fielder and push that right fielder into the DH or some other person into the DH, or he will be the DH. Another part of this is the another rule change I was intrigued by was the expanded playoffs. Four extra teams mean a lot. That means a lot to a lot of organizations that are going to change their thought process from, okay, well, while we're going to be competitive, we're probably not going to be top five in our league. Top seven? Maybe. Four wild card spots? That is doable for a lot of teams. So I believe how that's going to affect things is we're going to see a lot more teams being active and being buyers at the trade deadline. When it comes to the trade deadline, I think about August 15th would be a good time. It would be end up being pretty much the halfway point of the season if we were to start July 1 and end around October. That could be something. But either way, the trade deadline will be more... there will be more buyers at the trade deadline, which is great for the team. Which is not great, excuse me, for the sellers, because there will... it will be great for the selling teams because there's a higher market for those guys. Looking at the Orioles, the Royals, they have some pieces that they can turn, and it's a seller's market out there. There's going to be a lot of people looking, a lot more teams out there looking for that Trey Mancini, as opposed to maybe there were only three teams last year looking for a big bat. Now there will be six teams, and they're going to be bidding up against each other. That's big for the Orioles and the Royals, who have one or two pieces that they can give away. They're not going to compete. They could have half the league could make the playoffs, and the Orioles and Royals and Tigers aren't going to make the playoffs, and it won't even be close. So that's going to change the trade deadline, and I also believe it's going to put a greater emphasis on faster starts. Last year, the Nationals were 10 games under 500, pretty much, 40 games into the season, 30 games into the season. That won't happen to any team this year, I don't believe. Maybe with the expanded playoffs, the seven seed could sneak in and blow through everybody. I don't think that would be happening, but it could. I think the chances of that are a lot lower than it would normally be if we played 162 game season. So with that shortened season and the expanded playoffs, I think most teams are going to try and get off to fast starts immediately, maybe make some bad decisions early on. Extra pressure, make a trade early on when maybe they probably should have held off for a little bit. Certain players going a little harder than they should early on and they get hurt. Mainly looking at the Yankees players who seem to always be hurt. So now we move to, put the betting angle lens on. And most of them haven't really changed. But the expected expansion of roster spots could help bad bullpens. If you know anything about what I talk about and how you should bet baseball, is bet against bad bullpens late in the game. But if you're going to be able to add three or four extra arms, there's a chance that one or two of those guys could be pretty decent to even above average. Could make that bullpen better. And these are guys that we don't know about. I'm a big-time baseball fan, but I can't tell you who's, the next guy to be called up for certain teams, who would be the 30th man on the Detroit Tigers roster. Who knows? We don't know that. So that's a bit of a concern for me when I do have my bad betting against bad bullpens. That's something to think about. I do want to say, while most gamblers will tell you to be cautious early on, we have to act fast, folks. Let the lying dogs lie, all right? People are looking at this like, oh, there's nothing to be done. There's no sports. There's no research that can be done. There's nothing to be figured out. Wrong. That's why you're listening to this podcast, because every single minute there is something to find out. We live in the world where I can type something. I can say, hey, I'm not going to say the S word because my phone will ask me what it wants, but hey, blah, blah. Where can I find this? Or who was the rookie of the year in 1944? Boom, it's up there like that. I mean, normally you'd have to, get a sports encyclopedia? And even then, it was barroom talk. No one really knew, it was a lot of arguments. Now, we have everything we need at the push of a button, more than likely. All right? research is always there to be had, and it should always be looked for, folks. We're in a recession. Josh warned us about it. We are here. There's no time to sit around and feel bad or look around and, oh, man, because, yeah, you know what? It's bad luck. But we expected it to be coming. We have to be ready to react. And how do you get through that? The minute we can bet on sports, we hit it hard. That's why we've been doing all this research. I previewed every single team in depth, 20-minute podcast for every single team with their betting angles. Every single team in Major League Baseball. We did the research. It's all right there. It's literally right there at the push of your button. Go back, ecosystemsbusinessconcierge.com. Listen to all of those. Get ready, because when the season starts, we need to act fast. We are in a recession. Time is money, literally. We need to make money watching sports immediately. There's no time. It's just like in baseball. You got to get off to a quick start. It's a shortened season. Guess what? This is a very shortened betting season. We've already missed 2 months. We got to make up for that. But we do it smartly. We don't go crazy. We still go with our rules of betting. We still only bet 25% of our bankroll, maximum. We don't bet on the teams, or our own teams. And we do our research. This is the best time to do it. While there isn't a ton of information out there, there is information. And it's easy to find, and there's not a lot of people looking for it. That gives you a leg up, gives us a leg up. And that's what we're here for you to do. So while the gamblers are going to tell you to be cautious, I say we go in hard. And we get ready to make money quickly. Veteran teams like the Dodgers, Yankees, Indians, among a couple others, are going to have advantages over the younger teams because those teams have been together. Their core is there. Most of the players know their roles. The old Rock thing. Know your role and shut your mouth. Okay? Most of those teams have those guys set. So it's not going to take a month for them to figure out who those people are, where you're supposed to stand in the team photo, little things like that. Those veteran teams have it of advantage because they already have that figured out. Also, the teams that have a lot of pressure on them, I'm pretty much looking at the entire NL East except for the Miami Marlins. We could also look at the White Sox, the Cubs, the Angels, the Phillies. These teams are going to be even more pressure, because if they get off to a slow start and an early season skid, that could mean the end of your season, just like that. If you get off to a 10-25 start, a 10-20 start, you're probably, you can make the playoffs if you get rolling, but it's going to take a lot out of you to make the playoffs, and you probably won't have a whole lot to compete in October/November, whenever that happens. But one more thing in the betting angle with this shortened season, I expect teams to be a little more liberal with their starting pitchers early on. Normally, on a regular basis, 162-game season, you'll see opening day starters get pulled after the fifth or sixth inning with only 85 pitches or so, pitching well, and it's just to slow it down. They don't want to push these guys too much. And remember, that was pretty much the undoing of Gabe Kapler pretty much 2 games into his Phillies career. I think he went out and got Aaron Nola, and like after the fourth inning, he was pitching a no-hitter. He only had like 65 pitches. That was a bit much, but it just shows you how teams look at April and the early part of the season when thinking of their starters. That's going to change this year, because you have to let those guys go longer. When a shortened season, one win pretty much means 2 wins. One loss pretty much means 2 losses. Everything is doubled. The pressure is doubled. The excitement's doubled. Everything about baseball in a shortened season will be, it's a sprint. That burst that you had in that marathon is all through right here. You have to get it done right now. So, like I said, I think that might help teams with true aces, the workhorses, the Max Scherzers, the Justin Verlanders, the Zach Greinkes, the Garrett Coles, the Clayton Kershaws, the Madison Bumgarners, the guys that you can give the ball to and know, they're going to give me 110 pitches, and it's probably going to be pretty damn good stuff. I'm not going to have to worry about them being fatigued at 100 pitches or 90 pitches like some of these other younger, more coddled pitchers are. folks, that is all I have for you today. It is really, honestly, it was a podcast that I was looking forward to bringing out. I was hoping that we'd have something set in stone by the end of the week. That isn't going to happen. I still owe you all a article on the challenges of the Cuban defectors. That's part of the Road to the Show series that I've been working on. I was hoping to get it out this week, but been kind of focused on more the corona side of it and the negotiation side of what's going on. But we still have time, so in the next couple weeks, I'm going to get that figured out. Mainly, like, your focus right now should be is on these negotiations and the little things we can get out of this, because when we get ready to start sports again, we have to be ready to strike fast. Black Mamba style. Just quick. Fastest strike you can put out. But we're still going to do it smart. And how we're going to do that? You're going to go do your research. You're going to head to ecosystemsbusinessconcierge.com. We have so much. I don't know how many podcasts we have on there, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're in triple digits yet. And we haven't even been podcasting as a network for an entire year yet. And we probably have close to 100 podcasts. Nearly every single one of them are going to be educational for your gambling needs. And there's also political stuff that was pre-COVID political corruption and during COVID political corruption. Josh, I take my hat off to him. He is doing such an amazing job. And the best part about it, me and Josh, we don't always agree, but we have great conversations. You know, you don't see that a whole lot in the world, especially on the political side of things. Josh loves to talk on both sides, about both sides. He is not a Republican. He is not a Democrat. He is a individual thinker who has his principles, and he keeps you informed. Especially if you live in the Orange County area, he is probably your biggest advocate. Believe me, I wish he lived here down here in San Diego. Probably be driving our city council bananas. But check out all those podcasts. We have pretty much something for everybody. We have videos, we have podcasts, we have some articles on there. Everything you need. They're all educational. You can listen to our old NFL stuff and find the way that we bet, and you can turn that into your own formula, folks. All right, so once again, my name is Brandon First, aka First Report, representing the ESBC Gambling Podcast Network. Thank you so much for listening. I will be back with you on Sunday as we talk a little Padre baseball. And hopefully this time next week, we will be talking about a real plan, a mini CBA for the 2020 season, and we'll be talking about baseball happening soon. All right, everybody, stay safe out there. Wash your hands. God bless y'all, and I will talk to you soon. You can bet on that.
If you haven't heard of Anchor, it is free. It's a podcast that I use, and they really do a good job for us here at the GFSN Betting and Team Report podcast. It helps us make 70 to 80% of your bets. Now, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started, my brothers.